really, it's eye-popping stuff. This is the worst civil disturbance to have hit Greece in years, perhaps decades. We've had disaffected youth running rampage in Athens, in Greece's northern capital, Thessaloniki, in its western port city, Patra, and on Hania in Crete, down in the south. And, you know, Greece has been gripped by scenes of burning buildings, burning cars, stone hurling at youth, and the riot police actually standing back erupted when news spread that a teenage boy had been shot dead by a policeman in the downtown Athens area of Exarchia late on Saturday night, and that immediately sparked these protests in Athens, and they spread, as I said, very quickly across the country.
This is an excerpt from an article written for anarchismo.net. The anarchists and the rebellious people of Greece have shown they know how to fight, that they know how to agitate and organize well enough to effectively resist the state. It is unlikely that even their best efforts will lead to a complete revolution, but with disciplined, concerted effort, they could make some real revolutionary conquests. Furthermore, the uprisings in Greece point the way to wider anarchist agitation and involvement in popular social struggles to resist the oppressive apparatus of the state. Anarchist groups and organizations should openly support the rebellion in Greece and make every effort to equal the achievements of our Greek comrades. At the same time, all must be wary of the old mistake of substituting riot for revolution. The past failure of our movement of letting confusion and disorganization prevent us from being at the front of the social struggles and turning rebellion into social revolution.
On March 21st, Greek anarchists Sisi and Tassos from the Void Network in Athens, Greece, along with Peter, an American who's been living in Barcelona, Spain for the last 4 years, spoke about the Greek uprising of November 2008 at the Black Rose Collective.
Peter is also the author of How Nonviolence Protects the State. Sisi and Tassos are two of the editors of the book We Are an Image from the Future, which delves into the December insurrection and its aftermath through interviews with those who witnessed and participated in it, alongside the communiques and texts that circulated through the networks of revolt.
Tonight, on Circle A Radio, we will be talking about the insurrection of Greece and its importance. We will listen to excerpts from their talk in Portland, as well as an interview recorded in Mexico, and other audio from around the world. Stay tuned.
Next is an excerpt from Democracy Now! On December 11th, 2008, where Greek writer and activist Nikos Lentos explains the events leading up to the insurrection in 2008.
We are in the middle of an unprecedented wave of actions now and protests and riots. It all started on Saturday evening at around 9 p.m. when a policeman patrolling the Exarchia neighborhood in Athens shot and murdered in cold blood the 15-year-old schoolboy, Alexis. The first response was an attempt to cover up the killing. The police claimed that they had been attacked, but the witnesses all around were too many for this cover-up to happen. So all the witnesses say it was a direct shot. So even the government, in just a few hours, had to claim that it will move against the police, trying to calm the anger. But the anger exploded in the streets. In 3-4 hours, all the streets around Athens were filled with young people demonstrating against the police brutality. The anti-capitalist left occupied the law school in the center of Athens and turned it into headquarters for action. And on Sunday, there was the first mass demonstration. Thousands of people of every age marched towards the police headquarters and to the parliament. And the next day, on Monday, all these had turned into a real mass movement all around Greece. What was the most striking was that in literally every neighborhood, in every city and town, school students walked out of their school on Monday morning. So you could see kids from 11 to 17 years old marching in the streets wherever you could be in Greece. Tens of thousands of school students, maybe hundreds of thousands if you add all the cities. So all around Athens and around Greece, there were colorful demonstrations of schoolboys and schoolgirls. Some of them marched to the local police stations and clashed with the police, throwing stones and bottles. And the anger was so really thick. The policemen and police officers had to be locked inside their offices, surrounded by 13 and 14-year-old boys and girls. The picture was so striking that it produced a domino effect. The trade unions of teachers decided an all-out strike for Tuesday. Everybody acknowledges that even the riots, the big riots you may have seen in the videos, they are a social phenomenon, not just the result of some political initiative. There were thousands of angry young people that came out in the streets to clash with the police and smash windows of banks, of five-star hotels and expensive stores. So that's true. It was something that waited to happen. I think it's a mixture of things. We have a government that's the government of the ruling party called New Democracy, a very right-wing government. It has tried to make many attacks on working people and students, especially students. The students were some form of guinea pigs for the government. When it was elected after 2004, the government tried to privatize universities, which are public in Greece, and put more obstacles for school students to get into university. The financial burden on the poor families, if they want their children to be educated, is really big in Greece. And the worst is that even if you have a university degree, even if you are a doctor or a lawyer, in most cases, young people get a salary below the level of poverty in Greece. So the majority of young people in Greece stay with their families till their late 20s, many till their 30s, in order to cope with this uncertainty. And so this mixture, along with the economic crisis and an unstable and weak government, was what was behind all these explosions.
That was Nikos Silentos on Democracy Now! Our next interview was recorded November 3rd, 2008, at Radio Digna. Radio Digna is a project of Radio Free in the port of Ensenada in Baja California, Mexico. Radio Digna is created and operated by collectives and individuals in the community who are part of La Otra Ensenada. The interview begins with a description of the philosophy of the Void Network, which Cici and Tassos are members of. This is Tassos.
The main idea, it has to do about friendship. We believe that friendship is the main core of building a community, of an urban community. We believe that a company of friends, that each other, they feel strong love and trust and mutual help. They can achieve things that each person cannot, could never achieve. We believe also in sharing, like sharing of lifetime, sharing of materials and resources, sharing of houses and common food, and sharing of ideas, and into a process of a debate, a constant debate. We believe in non-dogmatic skepticism, that we can put under questioning any kind of logic, our logic also, the social logic also, and the governmental logic also.
How has Void Network changed because of their analysis of your own logic?
In the first years, we was like a closed company of friends, like a closed group that we was trying to bring in public our inspiration and our enthusiasm of our co-creativity and our coexistence. But slowly through the years, we understood that to be a close group, it has like limitations also into the relations, but also into the attendance. So slowly we changed into a network, like the idea transformed into a process of bringing people together and network our activities with other collectives, other groups, other communities, and other creative beings also. So we started to invite in our events and in our houses, like to meet many different kind of people. So we became much more open through the years, because we understood that also our logic could have limits. So we was in need of the inspiration of the other people. And also our activities was in had limits, so we was in need of global, in the end, collaboration with other movements and collectives.
It is interesting that in the description of Void Network, you never mention politics. But in a sense, all that you mention is politics, living amongst people, taking decisions, sharing ideas. But is it a conscious thing about the description of Void Network that you don't speak about any political type of relationship?
Yeah, we try to avoid to use as a platform a kind of ideology. Like we try to go beyond ideologies, but in a way also we are influenced by many different currents of ideological way of thinking. You know, you can say that we are influenced by the libertarian, anarchist, and utopian way of thinking and acting. But also we are influenced by the hippie movement, the yippie movement of the 60s, like the underground movement of the 60s, but also by Buddhism, like the understanding of interdependence, like it is explained by the Buddhism, and also by the Buddhist dialectics, the Buddhist skepticism, this skeptical attitude towards your mind first. Like that you put in questioning also why you think, where you found your ideas, you know. So it is not an ideology, it is a way of questioning mostly, like a constant inquiring. So by this, we try to become more wise as we move into our activities. We use like the effort to go beyond ideology as an opening of the inquiring, as an opening of thinking. But of course, we are influenced by many different theoreticians and like other movements, you know.
And in the global liberation movement, have you found similar movements in other countries or maybe in Greece, similar type of ideology as Void Network?
In the in USA, there is one collective, Crime Think, that when we first came in contact with them, it was through their book. Which was their first book, Days of Love, Nights of Horror. And they are using the same type of texting to contact with the people, which is romantic and directed to the heart of the people. They don't speak, you know, cruel politics. It's not just a strict political text, their book, but it's very romantic also. Also, these people create not only political events as festivals or festivals with seminars, but also they create some concerts, which is a similar thing for us, that we don't do only lectures with political style, but we are doing also some music, to create this utopian atmosphere, as we say. So. The Crime Think is the one collective that we feel like we are the same. And so, because this, we call them as spiritual friends.
Other friends, it is like the Black Autonomia of Germany. It's a parallel movement to us. This the most important is the Occupy of Kopi in Berlin and the Occupy Rote Flora in Hamburg. That they belong to the traditional Black Autonomy of Germany. They are the last big occupas of this big movement of the 80s and 90s. And their logic, it is based on the everyday life and the relation, that it is very important for them also. Like they don't put a goal, a superior goal, a social goal or a superior goal as more important than the relations that they have to each other. That to fight sexism or to fight paternalism or to fight like this psychological control that can appear inside the communities, you know, to find this to fight against these elements inside the community, it is very important to them as also to us. That we believe that it is very important, you know, to achieve horizontal relations and good enjoyment one to each other. And to transform this as a power of activity into the social level and into the public. And also the black autonomy of the North Europe, also in Denmark and also Switzerland, existing these movements, they believe in that we have to negate work, to do not working in normal life works, you know, to do not work for boss. And by putting yourself into this position to do not work, immediately you, in a way, you become revolutionary because you have to survive differently. It is like a practical existential method to put yourself in the conditions of negation of the system, because if you don't work and if you don't owe money to the banks, also, like you don't take loans, you know, this means that you are autonomous and you have to be self-sustained. And this leads you immediately to come in community with other people that they don't work also, and they try to solve their personal problems into a communal way. That this is the basic core of the German autonomy, the negation mm-hmm. of the work, and by this way to produce conditions through Okupa or through sharing rent or through stealing supermarkets to survive, you know, mm-hmm. and many different ways, you know, to make concerts, so by the income, the community, all community to sustain, you know.
You have to be more creative to survive.
Yeah. You have to be more creative, and for sure this creativity, it is in public. Because it is in the social life, it is a social life creativity. So slowly, you take back everything that capitalism sells to you. You create by your movement conditions, by the conditions of your movement.
You are listening to an interview conducted by Radio Digna of Tassos and Sisi on Circle A Radio. In this segment, Sisi and Tassos discuss the current state of the social struggle in Greece.
We had a dictatorship organized by CIA from 67 until 74. The movement, the student movement and the popularistic movement that negated the dictatorship and thrown down the dictatorship in the end in 74, injected the society with a higher level of democratic instinct. Anyway, we can say that democracy, it is a Greek word, you know. So the Greeks, they throw away the king in the 500 before Christ, you know. And they had a king after the liberation from the Turks, but they throw him away also after 74, okay? And this means that we have the luck, like we say for joke, you know, that the anarchists, they grow from the ground. That inside the society seems that there is a strong element of anarchism generally, like anti-governmentalism. Mm-hmm. The people, they are not like England. In England, the people, they trust the government and they believe that the government is good.
Or in France.
Or in France also, yes. In Greece, this doesn't exist. Generally, the people, they don't like the government, any kind of government, you know. This means that the anarchist activities, they have some psychological help, some psychological acceptance from the general society. And also after the 74, we had like the Communist Party. We are the last country that exists, the original Communist Party. In the parliament, that with the same name, mm-hmm. Communist Party Greece, that appeared in the beginning of the 20th century and still remains. That is a very conservative party, it is conservative and nationalistic party, but exists there, you know, and fights for the workers and this classical communist propaganda and politics, you know. And exists also that they have 9% in the, about 10% in the parliament. And there exists also the European Social Forum part, this that we call Pink Communist, the European Communist, that they have also about 13%. That means that we have about 25% of the society that it is in the left side in the parliament. Okay, and this, it is beneficial for the movement generally because it is, they make a protection, a kind of protection for the social rights, for the social help. Mm-hmm. For the social insurance, for the public education, for the public interests. Yes. You know? And they organize also syndicalism, in a way that we are not agree, but like generally the anarchists, the communists, the pink communists, the autonomists, all these together, they can achieve to appear 100,000 people in the streets, you know.
You are in some way describing Spain in the 1930s.
Yes, in a way it is like this. Yes, we are in a fight between of us, but anyway we come in the streets for the big social subjects all together.
Yeah, and this is the most important thing in Greece, that the anarchists, the authoritarian people, they don't have only events in their social centers, but they are doing, they are getting down in the streets, and they are doing marches, they are doing demonstrations. They are not only some few people that they will do a direct action somewhere secretly, like in England, for example, but they will organize all of them to get down in the street. And this is very important, and this is that make them different from England, for example. Because in England, there are many people, activists, anarchists, but they are separated in small groups. Like one group for the genetic modified food, one group for the political prisoners, one group for the animals. So this they separate, so they and they never have the ability to get down in the streets, to be a lot of them.
In Greece, also the groups of anarchists is organized completely fragmented and like small groups that of trust, that they trust each other, but they are not separated and isolated. Like they are organized in small groups. There is not existing, like they don't appreciate the logic of the big organization that will save the world, you know. The method is the same. It is organized in small groups of trust, that they trust each other, but they are not isolated. And so every 1 month and a half, they organize all together big demonstrations, but with not one poster, but with 20 posters different, or maybe 50 different posters for the same demonstration, okay, organized by the different groups. The participation of the groups, it is that they announce by their own way the logic, the propaganda, and the meaning of this exactly demonstration, that all the anarchists together, they will come in the street, you know. So they come like 4,000 people, 3,000 people for solidarity, for the animals, for ecological reasons, for against privatization, against business, for many, many different reasons. They come in the streets and they make separate demonstrations, about 3,000, 4,000 people every 1 month. They make also smaller, sometimes 400, 600 people, you know, for smaller things, you know. And also, these people, all these people together, they participate in the big social issues. Okay. That is sometimes for social insurance, or it is for public education, or for many different reasons.
Sometimes I think that we are not afraid to confront with the police, to confront with the state. We trust ourselves. We trust that we have the power to do it.
And because in this it is very, very much influential, this that I said to you, the insurrectionist logic. That the insurrectionist logic it gives empowerment to the people, to feel that they can achieve the moment of revolt and rebellion and the moment of attack. So from the beginning you are organized strategically, you know, and methodologically, and also like mentally, to achieve the psychological condition to participate in a fight. This is like an education. Social and psychological education that one each other offering through solidarity, through love, through enforcement. You know?
And we trust ourselves because we know that we can manage to win this that we demand. Because, for example, when there are political prisoners, we get down in the streets, make solidarity marches, and they get out. Of course, now there are three political prisoners now in Greece.
But in the last summer we succeeded to liberate many, you understand? Through the politics, through the propaganda, through the marches, through the fights, and of course through the networks of the anti-authoritarian lawyers,
yes.
We succeed to win.
we are down in the streets till we win. We are not just once time and we go. We will get down in the streets till we win. And all these people in all the places, they have to think this, that they are not going to win in one moment with one demonstration, with one direct action. It needs time and it needs effort. So we have to do constantly our actions.
Also, just to mention also this, you know, as a tool. We have in all the universities of Greece a room, office. It's not like an office, it's like a room of the anarchists. Like, because the other political parties, also inside the parliament and outside of the parliament, they have also rooms in the university to organize. The young students, political beings, as political beings. So by this way, we force the universities to give also one room for the anarchists. By occupying one specific room in every university of the country. And this gives a lot of networking and constant activity and also constant communication between the anarchists and the students and the people. And this also gives us the opportunity, in whatever moment comes, any kind of attack of the police or of the government to the anarchist movement, to the anarchist social centers or to the anarchist occupas that exist outside the universities, to use immediately the universities to occupy the universities, to squat the universities of all the country immediately, to make all national anarchist movement in a moment. If we ever have a dead person that we never had, you know, or if we ever have a serious troubles or suppression from the police knows that immediately it will have a national movement, because there is existing a national network of anarchist groups and a national social centers in all the country.
Participate in the assemblies of the neighborhoods. Okay. That they are not anarchist assemblies, but they are the simple assemblies of the neighborhoods, and they participate there to insert the anarchist philosophy.
Radio Digna, nuestra arma contra el poder.
¿Quién ganará? ¿Quién ganará? ¿Quién ganará? Para eso uno espera, se espera con paciencia. A largo plazo se siente la victoria. Juego de cemento.
That was an excerpt from Radio Digna here on Circle A Radio at KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. Tonight we're talking about the Greek insurrection of 2008. Up now is audio recorded from an event on March 21st of this year at Black Rose Collective in Portland, Oregon, which featured Greek activists Tazos and Sisi of the Void Network and editors of the book We Are an Image from the Future, and also Peter, author of How Nonviolence Protects the State. Here's Peter.
On the one hand, we don't want to convey the rather silly idea that anything that people do in Greece can just be taken out of context and transferred somewhere else and reproduced somewhere else and then somehow work or not end up with, you know, everyone dead or in prison. However, on the other hand, we also don't want to promote this idea that sometimes it gets thrown out there that culture is something essential and unchanging that falls down from the skies, and Greece just happens to have a culture in which people riot, and it just happens to have a culture in which insurrections happen all the time. I mean, for one thing, that's not really true. And for another thing, what's happening there in Greece comes out of a specific historical and cultural context that people have fought very hard to create. Because all the time, every day, every year, the state and the elite are trying to re-engineer society and recreate the culture so that it's one that only supports consumerism, one that only supports passivity and obedience. If you don't have people countering that in any way, if you don't have people renewing histories of struggle, and if you don't have people recreating cultures of resistance, cultures of fighting back, then that's going to disappear.
This is Sisi talking about the anarchist participation in neighborhood councils in Greece.
Also, there is a big participation of anarchists in even if the neighborhood assemblies are not anarchist. Maybe even there can be some people that they are very leftist, you know.
But the anarchists are going there to contribute their opinions or their aspect of view or their practical solution. It is very important the participation of the anarchists even in neighborhood assemblies. So there is this participation in the assemblies of the neighborhood, but also there is sometimes a social center or a squat in a neighborhood. So it is obvious also that the anarchists are not existing only in Exarchia, but also there is their presence in neighborhoods. And in small villages, because there is no neighborhood assemblies, but there are cities assemblies. So the anarchists in villages, they try to make a big opening meetings with all the village, you know, with all the city. Also, there was a try during 2000, very prospata. Okay, now that the anarchists they tried to make a group of their area. For example, it was calling the anarchists of the West Greece, and they tried to gather and find all the anarchists of the West Greece. So, as each of them, they were in a different village, and they tried to find the problem on their village. So, all together, they were fighting for each problem in the villages, and the most times this was ecological problems about the ecology, about the pollution of the river, and many other ecological problems.
I mean, you have to understand that in Greece, the we don't have a movement. We don't call we don't call ourselves like the anarchist movement. Okay, we call it like the anarchist space. The anarchist space means that each one of the stars has its own light. This means that it doesn't exist one specific idea. Like our ideas doesn't represent now like something like the anarchist movement or something. It is very much based on the initiative of the people and the initiative of the small groups. The affinity groups, it is very, very important, you know. We can say that there is not existing like exactly like you say platform is, you know. Existing one organization that the name is anti-authoritarian current, anti-authoritarian movement, anti-authoritarian current, that they have different separate independent assemblies all around Greece, but they use the same name and they are like the same organization altogether, but it's constituted by different assemblies, separate assemblies. And they meet like every time, every 3 years, every 2 years, they meet from all around Greece, they meet all together. Most of the times they don't agree each other, you know.
So that means that there is no a common platform that they follow. The common,
they agree some basic ideas like
anti-hierarchy, direct democracy.
They have some basic common beliefs. And also like this book called The Insurrection is, it's like also very, very much fragmented. Like people, they don't they don't try to find one general common truth that they fight together for this, you know. And that's why it's important like to explain the way that they organize, you know, because you ask also like the way that they organize.
That was Tazos here on Circle A Radio. Next up will be Peter.
And it also might be worthwhile noting for folks here that among the insurrectionists or like the Black Bloc crowd in Greece, like the Italian insurrectionists have not had nearly as much influence as they have here, and also like the sort of the French school, like around like the Invisible Committee, has not had as much influence there as it has here. It's a distinctly Greek school, you might say, of insurrectionary anarchism, more influenced probably by illegalism and by situationism.
Ideologically. There are some influences from for situations, but there is also influence, you know, like from classical anarchists, like Malatesta and Bakunin,
Kropotkin,
in a way that it is useful now for us, you know, like it's not like we follow any classic beliefs. And also, like, we have to say about the ways of organization. For example, the neighborhood assemblies started, most of them, they started all in Athens area anyway. They started as a fight back against the gentrification of the city during the preparations for the 2004 Olympic Games. In the beginning, they created one that was around Acropolis, the one area Petralona that is nearby Acropolis, because there was a very, very beautiful park down of Acropolis that the government wanted to close it and to put ticket to take money from the tourists that are going to come for the Olympic Games. and they want to close the park, you know. So the so it was the first assembly that created the art from Neckbrook, just to answer into this gentrification. So they did it like this. In the beginning, there was like a few people that they took this initiative. Some of them anarchists, some of them leftists, okay? And then they made the posters. They went all around the neighborhood, in, from door to door to door to door, in every house existing all in the neighborhood, and they stick an invitation for the open public assembly with some specific subject, talking subjects. First, one, two, three, four things that we invite you to talk all together. So they talked. They met about, like in the first time, they met about 300 people from the neighborhood. And like in the beginning, each person wanted to share with the other people their needs. I mean, how to say, their fears or their visions about the neighborhood or the problems. You know, each person had to speak about his own beliefs. So it was very much like a sharing of communication in the beginning. But then slowly, slowly they built the power, like second week, third week that took place this, and they decided that they have to act against this gentrification. The problem that they had is that the government started slowly, slowly, and they were putting bars around this park, you know, they were putting new bars, fences, yeah, this kind of thing, but hard fences, metal fences. So it was the first time that because of the participation of the anarchists and because all these weeks they spent it, you know, like the anarchists, to explain their beliefs and to communicate with the people face to face, but also to explain why they think differently, you know, why they, what they think about this problem, you know, what they think about the neighborhood. The neighborhood really felt familiar, felt comfortable with the existence of the anarchists because the anarchists spent a lot of time to explain to the people their beliefs, you know, and then they introduced to the assembly the idea that it goes like this. They say, we will take the initiative, we will destroy these bars. If you like, you can help us, you know. Like, if you like, you can participate for us. Maybe if it is dangerous for you, or if you feel scared, it's, maybe you don't need to come that day. But we will fix this place, you know. And we will make this for to save our neighborhood, to save all this park for all the people. Also for the neighborhood, also for the city, and also for the people that they will come. Because the important thing it is in the neighborhood, the anarchists, they participate in this way. But it's not a problem of the neighborhood, it's the problem of the neighborhood linked to the city, linked to the whole world. Because the anarchists, they are not localists, you know. I mean, they fight in the local scale, but for a general idea also. So they made it like this. So in the end, they attacked. And they came also normal people with them, you know, like they participated also like non-political people. And they broke down all these fences, you know. Then the neighborhood would feel empowered, felt good, you know, felt that yes, with the power of the direct action of the anarchists, we can do it, you know, like we can save the place.
Because there was a practical result on all these things that they were angry about it. It was not just some abstract ideas or some imagination of the anarchists that were going to do this. They did it all together and it was leading to something successfully. Because this, they found the parliament with the anarchists and they work and they wanted to work together and then again and again.
And also, like, it was not like an abstract smashing, we smash capitalism like abstractly, you know, like it was a specific goal. They spent the people long time to explain to the people why we have to do this thing, and then they did it, and then the people felt empowerment. After it happened the same with the area of Exarchia. In Exarchia, like one year and a half before the Olympic Games, in the beginning they want to make metro station. But this didn't even exist like idea, like a finished like idea after. They just made it like a joke, you know, like thinking, making metro. Everybody laughing with them, with the government, nobody thought again to make metro. Yeah, because, you know, to make metro you have to close all the square for years and years. And they tried to make gentrification also in Exarchia area. So the first day that the people they heard about this, immediately they started to make telephones all together, and they gathered 400 people. Half of them there was anarchists, half of them there was like people from families all around the square. And they were looking, you know. Then the first day, because you know Exarchia is a place of the anarchist work, okay? I mean it's an anarchist autonomous zone, okay? Like the anarchists, they protect this zone from the police, they attack the police in all the neighborhood borders. So because the inhabitants, they knew the participation of the anarchists and they knew that they had connections with the anarchists, they knew because of the counter-reformation, endless spreading of pamphlets and posters and all around the neighborhood, then the anarchists immediately, the first day, they smashed all the machines of the working place, like of the workplace. They threw down all the machines and they smashed them. And then the neighborhood felt good. we can stop the gentrification, you know.
Yes, because the, all these machines were linking to something that that exists, and that exists. This existence is the destruction of the square. The destruction of the square stops when with signatures, you know. It stops when we put our body inside this destruction. So when we are going to distract this, when we are going to distract this destruction, so we are going to smash this that smash the square. Yes. So they don't feel it that it is something so smashing. They feel it that it is something that we have to do it, you know. Otherwise, it will not happen.
And this assembly continued after for long time, and they, because you know they went and they say, what is your plan? You know, they went to the government and they say it is not a government responsibility. It is this private company that makes the gentrification. And then they went to the private company and they say, what is your plan? What are you gonna do in the square? And they say, because we are a private company, we don't have any obligation to show you our plans, you know. And they say, you don't show your plans, so you will not do any work until we decide what you're gonna do. So they close the area. Of course, riot police came again and again, and they put riot policemen there like non-stop, 24 hours per day. But all around the area, it was like all the normal people, all the inhabitants, and also all the anarchists, especially the anarcho-punks. The anarcho-punks, they stay around the square like 24 hours per day, you know, like they stay all the time. So all of them, they were making jokes to the police, and they were just protecting the area, you know, the zone of the workplace, but no workers. Because how workers? Whenever come workers, the people, they were attacking them, and they would say to them, go away, go away, we don't want work. So, in this way, the people, they felt the power that, no, we're gonna do it like we want it. So, some architects from the Polytechnic University, because we forgot to say that in Exarchia Square, just 50 meters, 100 meters away from Exarchia Square, it is the Polytechnic University that was the center of the student struggles from the 70s until today. Like, from against the dictatorship from 74 until today, it is the center of the student struggling, you know. Something very important that we have to speak about, like the student struggling. That is very, very important. But just to speak about the necropolis, okay? So, in this way, the people, they invited architects from the Polytechnic University, people that they was radical architecture teachers. And the people, they've made their own plan. We want the square to be like that. We want more green in the square, better benches, better area for the old people to pass around, you know, like, we want to make it like we want. So they went there to the people of the private company and they said, or you're gonna do it like that, or you will never do it. The work stopped for 6 months, and because they had put away the pavement from the square, it was like a ground now. So the people, they put a volley net. It was the time that it was a beach, the square, it was like a beach, you know, we were making holidays, but it was a different, strange period. And this assembly continued, and the people and the government enforced to do it like the assembly wanted, and this assembly continues work, and it is the most important, its most influence, you know, it is for the... how to select against the police brutality in the area and against the police existence in the Exarchia area. This happened in 2003, okay, that we say. This assembly, March 2009, 4 months after the starting of the insurrection, invited all the other groups from all around Exarchia, and they've made, together with all the other groups, the occupation of park, the self-organized park. 50 meters from the place that Alexis had been assassinated, it was this... parking. It was a big parking area, you know. But for 15 years, the mayor of the city had rent this, had made contract with this guy to have parking. But the contract of this area was saying that this place had to be parked. But for 15 years, the mayor couldn't make it, you know. All groups of the area, they came together, and they say, Saturday morning, we create park. So the people, they come together, you know, like everybody talking to each other. No posters. This was like secret plan, you know. But all the groups of the area. And they brought these machines that you break the ground, you know? So,
A thousand people.
1,000 people gathered, okay? They come in this place and they start to break the ground, you know? And to take out all the ground and the stones, you know? They've made like ground for trees. And they were making very nice, they put in the trees and all the children, they came, you know, making, helping for making the trees. 9 o'clock in the morning, in 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was ready.
It was a very nice
car. And we make a photograph and we send to the mayor and we say, you know, like, dear mayor, 15 years you couldn't make this park, you know, we made it in a morning. These kind of things, neighborhood assemblies, you know, it is very, very, it's like a meeting point of the dreams of the normal
people. And also, of course, we use the neighborhoods even to smash something, to create something beautiful. but also we use them to make their public assemblies in the park, in the square, but also to make their events, film nights, festivals, concerts, or talks, lectures. So we don't use them just to make an action and after disappear. We are there to support, to defend our place. We are not going to do something and after disappear. This is that keep us strong, and this is that keep us keep us strong to our struggle. Because even if we do something, we are still there and confront of our place. That this that keeps all the people to come together and do this change, that is a big change, is the trust to our powers. Because we will never go even one step backwards, you know. We will be there in this square till happens this that we dream. And after, when our dream becomes reality, we don't adopt it, we are there, you know, to support our dream.
So it's really important to note that there wasn't like a long-standing tradition of these neighborhood assemblies in Greece. Like the first one in Athens started in 2002, 2003, but already by December, just 6 years later, they were there to play a really important role in the uprising of December, and they're one of the major points of power after the major riots or the insurrection have ended to allow the insurrection to continue in new and more powerful forms. Like this, the ability of after December, of 1,000 people to come and do exactly what they want in a part of the city. And this park, by the way, is just half a block away from the spot where Alexis Grigoropoulos got killed. It's a very symbolically important place. And it's a way that the people are building power, and they're showing that because they won in the streets in December, they're able to take more and more and to keep kind of pushing the envelope, pushing the limits of insurrection, and keep the social struggles growing in power.
That was Peter. Again, this is Cece.
When we are there and we support our dream, then all the other people that they are not anarchists, they can see that there are some people that they succeeded to do this, that they are fight for it. So they don't look to us as monsters, you know. Of course, sometimes they look at us and they are afraid of us, you know. But our main purpose is to make these people, the normal people, to understand our vision, to communicate our vision. This is the most important at least for us, you know, to find out all the normal people who are not stamped by any subculture, to find them and invite them to us, not to become another one subculture being, but to become as it is, you know, as she or he is, you know, but just to come, firstly to understand, and if she wants, she can participate also in our struggle, that this comes very naturally after. But the first point is to show to the society that we are an inclusive space, that we are an inclusive space, you know, that we are not adopt any kind of identity or of ideology, and we became this... how to say, so free person that we cannot understand the other people. Because the important thing is to understand the other people, to find them, and sometimes, you know, to speak with them, because even maybe they are normal people, but maybe they can understand more than us, you know. The anarchists are not the most intelligent beings. This is elitism, you know. The intelligence is to have the critical mind to understand what is going on. And there are many people of this. Our aim is to find these people. And the important thing is not just to invite them also, but make them to do something, you know. Like, for example, there can be some grandmothers that they are bored because they don't have money from the government, I don't know. They can do their event, you know. The point is to have a space for these people to come and make their own event there. The anarchist space in Greece, it is not limited. It is not limited in the ages, you know. It is not just a youth phenomenon. But the people are from kids, even, of course, because their parents are, from young people, from 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know? It is not a limited youth phenomenon.
Or we try to be like this, you know? Like, the most important it is to understand this as a problem, you know? Like, that to do not become like a youth identity. To not be just a nice life from when you are from 20 to 25. To can grow inside this, so this means that you understand your mistakes and you become better and better inside the political activity. Because, you know, many people many of us, you know, when we were 20 years old, we believe different things than when we are now 35 or 40 years old. In a way, this is the problematic. I mean, this is the idea about how to communicate with the other people, you know, with the people that they are outside from anarchist space. Because, you know, sometimes you have to succeed to coordinate action or to make together like an assembly or to meet with people that they are very different from you. And how you communicate with the different people. How you announce your anarchist ideas in a way that you don't suppress them, but they don't suppress you also. How you gain respect, you know, from these people. It is very complicated thing that, I mean, there is no solution. It is just a non-ending process, a never-ending process. It is like a question, everyday life question. How you create a space that the old people, they can come there, you know, a public space, or how you defend a square for young people to feel comfortable, but also old people to feel comfortable there, you know. And also especially our social centers, you know, how you can offer things to the society that they need these things, you know. Like, for example, all this, because the social centers in Greece, most of them, they try, you know, like to offer free workshops, free lessons. Many of them, like 15 different lessons per week, you know. Some social centers, they have 300 people that they go there only for lessons. These people, they are not anarchists. And we say, you know, like, how we can come in contact with these people, with the ideas. But these people, they come maybe only to learn Spanish there, you know, or to learn Arabic language, you know. How we can make them feel comfortable, make them feel included, you know, that this place is open for them, but to not be like Maoists that we want to force our political identity to them, you know. This is very delicate things, you know. This is not, there is not existing any solution. This has to do with the attitude of its social space, you know, of its social center. But it is very important, like the social center, when exists in one area, first the Nazis to be afraid of you, you know, like the fascists to be afraid of you, but the police to be afraid of you, because, you know, that they cannot make bullshit around in the area, the policemen, if exists a social center. But also like the people of the area to feel somehow benefited from this social space, to feel that this place works for them also. That is not like a separate freak identity or anarchist specific identity, you know. Also, another thing it is important, how you don't put water on your struggles. Because many times, you know, the anarchist insurrectionist struggle, it is not popular at all. So many of the actions of the anarchists, they are not popular at all. But it seems that year after year, the people, they get more and more familiar with these things. Many times, you know, like the attacks, all the smashings, all the arson attacks, all these nighttime activities, you know, like all these burnings and attacks to the police in the neighborhoods, all these riots, because it is like small riots, small groups gather, you know, and they go and they attack to the riot police of their area, you know. It is like, it seems that it is not popular, you know. Because, you know, the important thing it is how the society of your area feel benefited from you, but to do not become like reformists, to do not become like to do not put water in your wine, like we say, in this way, it seems, I mean, the thing that we understood during December, it was that that many actions that it was seen that it was not really popular during the time before, the year before December, like the people, they could take some distance from them. They would say, yes, okay, the banks sucking our blood, but these people that they burn the bank, yes, maybe, is this a solution? They were still thinking like this. But year after year, and attack after attack, and attack after attack, the people, and also through thousands and thousands and thousands of spreading of counter-information, the people started to realize the reasons for attacking in a bank. Or when they saw like a policeman shooting a 15 years old boy on the head, then they understood that that they had to attack the police like the anarchists they were doing. Because the anarchists, they were doing attacks to the police stations. Firstly, they started to make attacks to the police stations because of the immigrants. Because there were some special police stations, especially in the center of Athens, that they were very, very much brutal, very, very fascist to the immigrants, you know. They were going around like macho, you know, making bullshit to the immigrants, and they were kicking the immigrants, you know. Or they were arresting them, taking them inside, and they were kicking the immigrants inside the police stations. And then after the anarchists, they were organizing like Molotov attacks to the police stations, like throwing 50 Molotovs in front of a police station in the same moment, you know. It makes some wow. It was an action of the anarchist, okay, of the anarchist space. It was not like a general social activity. But when it came the proper moment, because of the assassination of Alexis, I mean, it was a limit to the people. It was a moment that the people, they say, no, we cannot stand it anymore. We don't obey anymore. It was the moment that the people, all this that was hidden, it came up, it came outside, you know, they expressed. And in that, during that times, all the activities of the anarchists that there was in practice for the last years, the people, they used these practices because they knew how to do it, because it was obvious, it was like a popular activity, it was easy to do, like Molotovs, stones, attacking with sticks, you know, burning banks, occupying municipality areas, you know, occupying the universities, smashing whatever luxury shop in your area, you know, all these things, it was easy to do, you know, it was like, it was not like an elitism, you know, it was not a specification, it was not like for specialists or something, it was like popular activities that when the people, they was in need of them, they put them in practice.
And also this is not happening only in big cities in Greece, but also, for example, in small villages. Before, the anarchists were very antisocial. They didn't want to have any connection with the rest of the society
in the 80s.
In the 80s. But after, they start feeling that they are isolated themselves, and they started to become very miserable and they see only their friends, you know? They get bored of their isolation. They thought it also practically and politically, that this is not going to lead somewhere, you know. We have to start to make bridges with the society. We have to work with the society. So even in villages, some small cities, that they had social centers, that they were very, you know, dangerous social centers. Before, you know, very in the 80s and in the 90s also. That the parents were telling, like, no, please, my kid, don't go there. These are anarchists, very bad people, don't go there. So after, of course, the kids were going there. After, they wanted, you know, to show to them that, okay, you know, it's a very nice place. It is not so
scary,
so scary, you know. And also, these people are not taking all the drugs, but they are doing also some other things, you know. Slowly, it started the open to the society. And this how it works, this. They have these thousands of communiques that with their own analysis that they spread to the society, or they make events in the square of the villas or of the small city with speakers, you know, and the microphone, and they speak and they play music. So all the society sees that these people are okay, you know, are very nice people, that they care for us. Because the important thing to show to them is that you don't care only for you. You don't care only for the anarchist prisoners, for example, but you care for all the prisoners, you know? And you show this to the society, that I'm not caring only for me, but I care for you, for you, for you, and for you. I'm caring for all the humanity.
Thanks to Cece, Peter, Tezos, and the Void Network. They can be reached through voidnetwork.blogspot.com. Thanks also to Radio Digna and Democracy Now! For their archival materials. And thanks to the Black Rose Collective for hosting the Portland event. Circle A Radio airs the first and third Wednesdays of each month at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. You can listen to our past work on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/circlearadio, and we can be contacted on our page there or at circlearadio@gmail.com. Our next show will air May 5th. Thanks for listening.